some of the frequently asked questions in the capital campaign booklet. So if you haven't had a chance to pick up one of these that I was handed out a couple weeks ago, they're on the table out in the vestibule. So I'm just going to read. So if you haven't had a chance to read them or you haven't had a chance to see it, I'm just going to go through the first couple. And then I have a devotional for you this morning. So the first question says, I understand that my financial pledge will involve a faith commitment. Can you explain the term faith commitment? A faith commitment is a decision that is made between God and you through prayer and conversation with God. Faith commitments are inspired by the belief that God will provide both through unexpected means and through the efficient management of your personal finances, through seemingly miraculous provisions, as well as the call to sacrifice comforts of daily life. The essence of a faith commitment is captured best through 2 Corinthians 9:7. Second question, will I be asked to communicate my faith commitment for GROW, the Give to Revive Our Worship, on March 25th, 2018? The answer is yes, we will have a commitment service. Leadership team will make important decisions regarding the timing of various projects based on the collective faith commitments made that day. Third question, will my faith commitment be a matter of public information? The answer is no. Information about individual faith commitments will be known only by the financial reporter, Karen Hoffman, and will be held in strictest confidence. The leadership team will be aware of the collective total of all faith commitments. And then the last question I'm going to talk about today is, what if my circumstances change and interfere with my ability to complete my faith commitment? Certainly none of us anticipate what the future holds. We understand that over the course of time, your circumstances may change unexpectedly due to health issues, job transitions, and so on. As with all faith commitments, the matters between you and God and the fulfillment of your commitment would be a matter decided between God and you. So next week, Pastor Stewart will go over the rest of those. This morning, my devotion is just called God's Presence. So in the Old Testament, as the Israelites were wandering in the desert, they would take the Ark of the Covenant wherever they went. It symbolized God's presence with them. This morning, I'm going to take you back on a journey into the Promised Land and look at two places that the Ark was at as a reminder of God's presence in our lives today. The first is the Ark at the Jordan River. That teaches us God's presence is with us and it goes before us. So I'm reading from the book of Joshua, chapter 3, verses 2 to 6. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark, and do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan River, following Joshua's leadership, the priests were ahead of them and they were bearing the Ark of the Covenant. When the priest who bore the ark came to the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But the priest didn't stop. The call of God burned on the priest's mind, so they didn't stop. They went straight ahead. And when they stepped into the waters flowing down from the sea stopped. The waters separated, and the people passed through the Jordan. This is the picture of the prevenient grace of God, which means God is going before us in grace on our behalf. So the question before us today is, do we believe that? Do we believe that God goes before us to prepare the way and that he will be there at every crucial time in our lives? In verse 3 it says, you have not passed this way before. Much energy is wasted worrying about coming to those places where we've not been before. We tend to worry ourselves to a fever pitch as we anticipate things happening that may never happen. Or as we come to those places where we've never been before. F.B. Meyer addresses this problem. He says, do you ever ask what you will do at the swellings of Jordan? Do you fear that heart and strength may fail? Do you dread the touch of the cold water? Do you wish that you'd lived in days when bushes burned with fire, where voices spoke from the mount, when the angels seemed visibly to precede the host, and a being like the Son of Man walked with glowing embers with his faithful witnesses? There is no need to cherish such backward yearnings. There is a presence with us, a divine companionship, the angel of the covenant, the Christ of God. And like a voice ringing down a mountain ravine, we hear the imperishable words, "Lo, I am with you all the days, even until the end." And shall we have faith to answer, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." So even if our emotions have not yet realized the experience, our faith affirms the fact with unfaltering emphasis. God goes before us. He is preparing the way and is going to meet us at every overflowing Jordan and at every swelling river in our lives. So the second place we see the ark is at Jericho. The ark at Jericho shows God's powerful presence. I think we all know the story of Joshua and Jericho. We know the song. You know, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. The walls came tumbling down. If you remember, Jericho was a stronghold. It was protected by mighty men, and Israel was not equal to the army of Jericho. The strategy God gave Joshua to take the city was a strange one. All of Israel's men of war were to march around the city once a day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they were to march around the city seven times. There were seven priests blowing ram's horn trumpets who were following the army. On the seventh time around the city, when the priest made a long blast on the ram's horn, all the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall of the city crumbled. What you may not remember about the story is that in the procession around the city, each of the 6 days, and the seventh time on the seventh day, priests carried the ark. And that was the key to victory. Not the army showing their strength, not the presence of the priests and the blaring trumpets, not the commitment of those wandering people, and not the shouts of their oneness, but the ark. The powerful presence of God. God's presence is power. For those who abide in the secret place of the Lord, mountains and hills of fear and discouragement and sickness and pain are made low, and walls of estrangement, separation, loneliness, and despair come tumbling down. And God tells us to test him. We need to stay alive to the presence of God. We need to cultivate that presence. We need to begin each day acknowledging his presence and making a willful decision to stay in that presence. It will transform our lives. It will transform our church. We are now at the swelling of the Jordan River. We are standing at the walls of Jericho. Faith equals presence. With God, all things are possible. And without God, all things are not possible. What gave the priests the faith to walk into the Jordan before God parted it? It was their faith in the presence of God with them. What gave the Israelites the courage to walk around and around and around those walls of Jericho until the walls came down? It was their faith in the presence of God who was with them. God says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." But do we have the faith to believe that? Do we have the faith to believe that God is with us even now as we embark on this capital campaign and as we step into the swelling of the Jordan River of our future?